All right, welcome in, everybody. We are back, your five-hole Taxi Squad Fantasy Hockey Podcast on Thursday, February 22nd. We are here tonight with your Week 20 preview. So, without further ado, Jay, let's start up those fares and let's get into it.
McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin.
Yeah, I was between that or Muhammad.
Why the fuck would it be between that or Muhammad? Why don't you just pick a common name like a normal person?
Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth. Read a fucking book for once. Fogel.
All right, welcome, welcome, everybody, and thank you, as always, for listening. We are the Five Hole Taxi Squad Fantasy Podcast, and we are back tonight for your Week 20 week preview. We are your hosts, as always, Craig, Alan, and Jay. Welcome back to the pod, boys. How are we doing tonight on this fine Thursday evening? What's going on?
It's insane to think that we're covering Week 20. We made it this far in the season. It's the final countdown.
And people are still listening to us, which is mind-boggling to me. It's been a journey, boys, and we still got a lot of content for the people to go.
Yeah, definitely. Best of luck to those on the bubble who are racing into playoffs. I'm in the bubble in some leagues too, and it is tetsy. I'm telling you, tetsy.
Well, I'm interested to. I want to put that feeler out there to the listeners. You know, get at us at in the Discord or on Twitter/X. I want to hear some of these wheeling and dealing moves as we get closer and closer to trade deadlines out there in fantasy world. You know, I know a lot of leagues are like within 1 week of today. There's going to be some moving and shaking for those bubble teams, I'm sure. We got a couple of things to discuss from the mailbag and even from one of our own leagues from a trade perspective. So before we get into that, as always, we encourage all of you out there to help us get the show into more new, fresh ears. So please like, follow, and subscribe, and leave us 5 stars wherever you get your fine podcast content. Please join us in the Discord community if you're not already in there. The five-hole Discord is 2,500 plus like-minded fantasy hockey individuals, including all of us from the Taxi Squad. TJ, Zach, and Roger also in there as well, talking all things fantasy hockey and life in general. So we encourage you to join that great community if you're not already in there with us. You can reach out to us there through the Taxi Squad hotline, the Thursday mailbag, and the episode discussion. If you have any fantasy hockey questions, you know, feel free to at us, and we are happy to either answer those questions like we'll be doing tonight on the show, or we will be answering them, you know, in between shows on the Discord when one of us is free. We also encourage you to follow all of us on Twitter/X, including Matty K. You can find our handles in the show notes. That does it for the peripheral side of the business side of things, boys. So why don't we jump, as we always do, before the week preview. So we'll take the van cab for a very, very quick spin around the league for some news and notes and some injuries. Then we'll get into the mailbag. And then, as always, Alan and Jay will take you through your opportunistic streaming schedules and our top streamers for week 20, and then we'll wrap the show with our streamers of the week picks. So let's dive in here and take the van cab spin quick around the league. This might be the shortest around the league we've had this season, but I'm okay with it considering how heavy it was in the first half of the season. You know, Victor Arvidsson of the LA Kings, he just came back from injury. I believe he's only played 3 or 4 games since his return. He's actually looked pretty good in terms of his shots on goal rate. He was getting around 16 minutes time on ice. He was back on that Philip Deneau, Trevor Moore line that he was so successful with last year. But unfortunately, he did get hurt in Tuesday's game, and he's now week to week. Brutal luck for Arvidsson, boys, because he was showing some signs of life, even though he hadn't scored in the 3 or 4 games upon his injury return. Another pretty sad one, I think, in my opinion. I've always liked a player going back to his Ottawa days. You know, one of those players that seems to always produce when he is healthy, but over the last 3 seasons, he truly has struggled with his health. Mark Stone from the last the Vegas Golden Knights. Unfortunately, he also looks like he's going to be out a while, according to their general manager. Even without Eichel, he was still producing. Hopefully this doesn't turn into something with his back again, and he's not out long-term. Hampus Lindholm of the Boston Bruins, also week to week. This one was a little bit less information for us, but you know, if you have him as a depth defenseman in any of your leagues, it's an undisclosed injury at this time. You know, keep a lookout for updates in the coming days on Lindholm. And then two that just happened tonight in the Florida-Carolina game, Matthew Tkachuk, their star left winger, and Gustav Forsling both left tonight's game with undisclosed injuries and did not return. And if I'm not mistaken, it both occurred in the second period. So if you are a Matthew Tkachuk owner specifically, who's been on fire as of late over the last couple of months, you certainly want to keep your eyes open for updates on his status moving into the weekend. Oh, that's it, boys. That's all we actually have for around the league. A nice little short one, but some key notes in terms of fantasy performers, especially Mark Stone and Matthew Tkachuk. So that leads the VanCab directly into the mailbag questions from the Discord. And then I'm actually going to present the boys tonight with one of my own from one of my dynasty leagues. We're going to dive into the first question, boys. It is from the Party Never Dies in the Discord. And thank you for the question, Party Never Dies, or PND. He asks us, the taxi squad. He currently has five defensemen: Roman Josi, John Carlson, Mike Matheson, Chris Letang, and Brock Faber. He feels like he needed help with hits and blocks. He also had Yanni Hakanpaa, who is, as we know, is injured. It looks like PND has stashed Hakanpaa in his IR plus and for this week. And with that move, he was able to pick up Boone Jenner in his place in that roster spot. Now, what he is considering, which I would imagine this is a Bangers Cats league, is to hold on Boone Jenner, who has been playing well since his return. And he feels like he still needs to open up a streaming spot for his team. Based on having all of these defensemen, who would we suggest being the drop if he holds on Boone Jenner? Boys, it's pretty simple for me. You hold on Papa Boone. Absolutely, especially in a Bangers Cats league. Yes, he's heating up again. You want that cross-category coverage that he supplies that a defenseman wouldn't, in terms of points upside, goals upside, shots on goal rate, hits, blocks. He also gets essentially top pairing defensive minutes in the depleted Columbus lineup. So I would definitely think Party Never Dies holds on Boone Jenner. For me, boys, I don't know how you guys feel. Josi, Carlson, Matheson, Letang are all holds. If you drop them, you won't get them back. I think it's between Brock Faber and Yanni Hakanpaa. And realistically, for me, I think it's pretty easy. I think you drop Hakanpaa. But again, that doesn't really open up a streaming spot for him because Hakanpaa is probably on IR plus and he's filled that roster spot with Boone Jenner. So I'll let you guys share your thoughts on where that drop comes from.
Yeah, so the big one, I think Craig nailed it on the head, and the big one is it's name recognition and the fact that you won't get him back. I honestly don't even know if Hakanpaa, if I can accurately spell Hakanpaa's name. I genuinely don't even know if I'd be able to find him afterwards or not. He is not a power play guy. He is the guy that gets a lot of periffs, but he's kind of a fantasy relevant player, not really a top media, newsworthy, noteworthy player. Now, mind you, this might be famous last words. Maybe he scores a hat trick in the time that this recording happens. But if he doesn't, there's no risk to dropping Yanni. You drop him, you don't drop him. It hurts and harms you and nobody else cares and nobody else knows. You drop him safely for Boone. And if he still does well, if any of those five defensemen before that got injured, you can slot them onto IR. And I'm pretty damn sure you can find Hakanpaa back there still. But that's not true for any of the other five defensemen you listed. So you have to drop Hakanpaa. I know I looked right now at the stats. He's getting a bunch of hits and blocks for you, but you can get that coverage elsewhere. And if you can't and you really need to pick him up back, you can punt that discussion later for another forward that's inevitably going to get hurt in these last 30 games of the season. But you're not going to drop any of those five defensemen. Those five defensemen, if anything, should be considered for a big trade block to bulk up and shore up your goalie or your forwards. But yeah, you can't just straight up drop Josi, Carlson, Matheson, Letang, or Faber. You're never getting them back, and you're never getting anything of value for that sort of caliber. I'm going to throw it to you, Alan.
Yeah, I think we beat it with the dead horse. Those other guys you have, you don't drop. For me, it's between Faber and Hakanpää, and this is more of a strategy than like a decision. But to me, the drop is Faber. But what I would do is, if you can afford to keep Hakanpää in that IR spot, give him a game or maybe two. Again, if you can afford it, because I know you can't make ads with someone healthy in IR. Maybe you give Hakanpää a game or two. Make sure that he is still hitting and blocking. Because if he comes back and he's not, something's wrong. And he's most likely just going to get re-injured. But, you know, if gun to my head, you got to drop one. You know, Hakanpää's healthy. For me, it's Faber. I feel like as a rookie, his anything is going to be too inconsistent to depend on, especially down the stretch.
Alan's just mad at Faber because of his free skate in that 10-7 game.
I am.
Earlier this week.
And then if you look at his last five games, it's like his like hits or blocks or whatever, it's like 2-1-6, 2-1-0. Like, it's all over the place. And they just took him off the power play for a little bit there for no reason at all. They tried like a five forward power play. How can you rely on a guy like that whose deployment can get changed up at any moment?
Yeah, and I think I agree with both your perspectives. For Party Never Dies, you know, the key here is, I would imagine your trade deadline in your league is coming up too, so explore your trade options for your five defensemen and see if you can upgrade either your goalies or your skaters specifically. But you don't, now that you have Boone Jenner, and now that Boone Jenner is healthy, you have to hold him, especially in a Bangers 100%. Cast league. And the more I think about it, and just something to consider if you don't know this, and if the boys don't know this, because I was looking it up as they were chatting here and giving their perspectives, is Yanni Hakanpää could be out a little bit longer than expected. He's not on the road trip with Dallas over the weekend, which means his injury could be something more significant than they originally thought, because he's not traveling with the team. Now, the scenario for you is that he's stashed. You picked up Boone Jenner for that roster spot, and you're looking to move that. And that would, not knowing where you stand in your standings, I would lean towards what Alan said, probably dropping Brock Faber, especially if you're near the top of the standings or you're in a solidified playoff spot, because to build on exactly what Alan said, his inconsistency as a rookie, he's slowed down in terms of point production, and even his blocking has been inconsistent recently. Minnesota does not have a favorable playoff schedule either. So that could be a determining factor to open up a streaming spot by dropping Faber. And I think the other four guys you absolutely cannot drop. You have to hold them. Your defense is too good. You're getting peripheral contributions from Letang and Matheson specifically. And, you know, Josi and Carlson sprinkle them in. But they're your points getters in that defensive core. So I hope that answers your question. Party Never Dies, and thank you for listening and your question and your engagement with us. We do really appreciate it. Now, boys, our other question from Shiver Me Timbers in the Discord, our pirate friend. Arr! This listener wants to know, who's your hold rest of season? And this is an interesting one. Dylan Strome from the Washington Capitals or Gabe Vilardi from the Winnipeg Jets? And this is a 12-team points league. Goals equals 5 points, assists equals 3, shots on goals equals 0.5 point, hits equals 0.25, blocks equal 0.75, power play points equals 1 point, and shorthanded points equals 1 point. So, with that scoring in mind, Alan, what say you to our pirate friend?
This is a loaded question, because there's so many ways to go about it. So, to me, if you're locked in to a playoff position and your playoffs are week 23 to 25, you get Strom. Caps have one of the better schedules. If you need help getting the run to make the playoffs, I would say Vilardi. Kind of edge to Vilardi for getting, you know, right wing eligibility. But Strome, he's also rumored as a trade target come deadline, so he may not even stay with the Capitals, which completely negates any advantage you'd get by him being on the Caps for that schedule. Yeah, I say it depends. Like I said, it depends on where your position is. If you're clinched, go Strome. If you need those extra couple weeks wins to get in, I'd go Vilardi.
All right, Jay. Alan's leaning Vilardi. What say you?
I think the problem with some of these questions is they're phrased in a way that doesn't help the immediate context. So I would ask all these questions and say to the listener, shiver me timbers, like, think from this perspective first. So are you, just as Alan described, on the bubble? And if you're on the bubble, also, are these guys on your team existingly? And then you need to get offload and get rid of one or the other? Or are you in a state where you are looking at your waiver wire with hungry chops and saying, hey, there's one guy or another, and you're looking to add? Truthfully, if you're looking on your roster, then all you should be seeing is, okay, this coming week 20 schedule, which of these guys has a better schedule, with which of these guys does not? And you should offload accordingly, depending with schedule maximization in mind. If you're looking on your waiver wire and looking for these two guys, you've been listening for the past 19 weeks, and everything about our descriptions and discussions have been about maximizing each week to maximize the schedule accordingly. You're probably not going to be able to just blanketly add these guys and then just rest of the season it. And again, I could be speaking off the cuff here a little bit, but is a Dylan Strome or Vilardi off the waiver wire going to completely revolutionarily change your team? Like, that is that's not the leagues that I'm in, at least. I'm quickly looking here and I'm saying Washington has a really bad week 21, it looks like.
I love rest of the season questions for Jay, because you could just see it in his eyes, Alan. He's like, rest of the season?
It's like, no, for next week, yes, I want this guy. But after that, no, forget it.
He's like, rest of the season? Who holds anybody not named in the top five players in any league for rest of the season? I just streamed McLeod from New Jersey again this week in a league. Don't think I didn't see that, Jay.
So it's like the big one is it's about a different mindset, right? Like, I think about the different sports that you have. If you're playing fantasy football, you need that draft to work out perfectly, or you need the week one or two and you need a couple guys, or a guy gets hurt in like week 14 or 11. You have a dynamically different strategy for the different sports you play. In fantasy basketball, yes, absolutely. Smash start every single week, and that's pretty much the end of it. Fantasy hockey is a very dynamically intensive maximizing sport where all the games are so equal. So truthfully, if you had Jake Walman or if you had Connor McDavid, it's very possible that four games of Jake Walman could outperform two games of Connor McDavid. It's just the nature of the sport. So looking at two guys, and I'm going to say this too, Dylan Strome scores and he doesn't really hit, and he has like maybe a couple of extra blocks compared to the other centerman, but Dylan Strome, you're really, like, you're going to bank on him for the rest of the season just to score goals. Like, he's not going to be a season changer. He might be a week-to-week changer, but then that is very dependent on that week's number of games for the Capitals. For example, in a crucial, critical week 21, he plays two damn games. Like, it's pretty damn useless if you needed that week's win. And then if you're looking at Vilardi, for example, he's a better spot leading into the schedule, right? He plays, what, 4-3-4? Like, this is pretty good for the rest of season. But at the same time, if I'm going to pull up Vilardi's stats over here, I don't think Vilardi's exactly a peripheral stuffer either. So either of those guys for a rest of season look, man, I think if anything, just listen to a couple more, listen on for some of our streamers for this week, and then listen on for some of the other streamers to try to maximize and tackle, because neither, truthfully, Strome or Vilardi is gonna budge too much, I guess, and definitely not as like this sort of rest of season, like band-aid for solving a catch-all problem. Maybe schedule-wise, you can say Vilardi would fit more schedules, right? Like, he's a center, he's right wing, he's got more games overall for the next few weeks. But truthfully, I think you should stream the guys for their off nights and for their maximum weeks. And then afterwards, once they get anything, Dylan Strome and Gabe Vilardi are actually prime names that I would definitely slap at the top of my drop these guys if they do not perform or anything, because that's just the type of caliber player that they are. And that's what, like, they make fantasy fun because you need a droppable player. And frick, droppable player is literally Dylan Strome and Gabe Vilardi. I would not hold or advise in most redraft leagues any manager holding either those two players for rest of season.
So I'm just going to, you know, summarize what Jay is saying. He hates rest of season holds, but I'm also going to bring his head back from Dylan Strome and Gabe Vilardi have no value rest of season and they're borderline streamers. Because I'm looking in a couple of my leagues, neither of which are face-off leagues. And Dylan Strome is a top 80 player in two of those leagues. And I'm holding him in both of those leagues. And Gabe Vilardi in similar scoring categories since he came back from injury, especially over his last three games. Over the last 2 weeks, he is a top 20 fantasy asset, Jay, in a points league, Gabe Vilardi. So potentially, my friend, they might have some rest of season value for those out there looking for points players in a points league, especially where you get rewarded like Shiver Me Timbers, our pirate friend, does for goals and assists. From perspective from my side, boys, I think I agree with Alan. I would lean Vilardi here, just one, because of the position flexibility you're going to get, Shiver Me Timbers. But two, Vilardi has 8 points in his last five games compared to Strome's 6 points in his last five. Strome's ice time has kind of been all over the place, going down as far as 16 minutes, as high as 21, almost 22 minutes in a game. Vilardi, since he came back, all his ice time has done is rise. They both have similar positioning, line one, power play one on their teams. But I think you get a much bigger ceiling with Vilardi, even though they both are very streaky players. I think Strome, if you're looking for a safety net in terms of stable floor, I think Strome's point pace at 60 points and his goal pace at like 28 goals pace right now is relatively, and hopefully Allen's rumor mill is not correct, if he holds his positioning with Washington, is relatively a safe output for him at this point in time. So you're going to get around 30 goals and 60 points from Dylan Strome. I would imagine that probably falls him within the 15 to 20 power play points as well, given, you know, Washington showing signs of life, especially with Ovechkin over the last 2 weeks, scoring a little bit more. Now, Vilardi, I know he's missed some time, quite a streaky player, but like I said, he has 8 points in his last five games. Over the last three games specifically, his time on ice has been around 19 minutes time on ice, shooting around 4 shots per game. He has 4 goals in his last three games. Yeah, a little bit spicy there in terms of consistency, sustainability. But I think based on getting his positioning back right away when he came back from injury, and now 5 games into that return, he's starting to heat up. He is in fact on a 36 goal pace and almost a 70 point pace. So like I said, the position flexibility that you get with him and the higher potential ceiling in terms of overall output, I think I would lean Gabe Vilardi as well over Dylan Strome, with the caveat that, to Alan's point, if Strome gets traded. But as Jay always says, from a center perspective, it's tough to fit those guys in, especially if you have strength at that position on your roster already, where Vilardi, you can fit in 2 spots, maybe even 3 if you have a utility spot. And I think you get a higher ceiling potential with Vilardi at the end of the day if you are going to hold him for the rest of the season. Before we move into the week 20 schedule, here's a question from me to the boys for the listeners to dig into on my thought process. Now, in the Apples and Geno's Listener Dynasty League, I am discussing a potential trade for one of my defensemen to a guy who's 2 spots up, three spots up on me in the standings. Now I'm on the bubble. Eight teams out of 18 make the playoffs. I'm in ninth right now. I do have an aging roster because I did try to make a team that can compete this year. So it's kind of already worked. And Jay, hey, Jay, man, I have Vilardi on this team. And I picked him off waivers really early on in his first hot streak in the early stages of the season. But my defenseman right now, and this is a Bangers Cats league. It covers goals, assists, points, shots on goal, power play points, shorthanded points, and hits and blocks. My defenseman right now, and keep in mind this is a dynasty league, is Borgen from Seattle, Bouchard from Edmonton, Krug from St. Louis, Letang from Pittsburgh, Montour from Florida, Walker from Philly, Brady Shea from Carolina, and then I have Lundqvist from Dallas and Samuelson on IR from Buffalo. So that's my defensive core that's in the NHL. My prospects are irrelevant in this trade discussion. This GM that's in sixth, I'm in ninth, reached out and is inquiring about Montour. His two offers on the table, one is irrelevant. I would already have smashed yes to this one offer, but it is dynasty, okay? So keep that in mind. His one offer is Stamkos straight up for Montour. And I am not a top three, top four team, so I am not in the position to win it this year. Stamkos is an unrestricted free agent. He's almost 5 years older than Montour. He's going to be looking for a new contract, whether he sticks in Tampa or not. That one I'm a little hesitant on, even though it's Stamkos. He's having a bit of a down year. The other one, and I tried to control myself on this one, is Boone Jenner and a prospect. We don't have to get into that because that's not our area of specialties for Montour. And keep in mind, my centers are a little weak in this league. I have the Scissor Man, Dixon, Vilardi, Zacha, and Larkin as my centers. What do you guys think? Should I do this? Do I hold on Montour? Do I trade him straight up for Boone Jenner and a prospect? I already saw Allen's face, even though he's a Tampa Bay Lightning fan in the dynasty format. I'm not sure Stamkos straight up for Montour really floats my boat in terms of strengthening my team for now and in the future.
I know, right? Well, especially for the short term, like, because I think we've discussed Tampa has one of the worst schedules kind of down the stretch here and even into playoffs.
And so you guys do that. And the listeners and you guys know how much I love Boone Jenner. So.
But hear me out. Hear me out. We just said that Matty Tkachuk went out. He would be a big component in Montour getting going. So maybe the Boone Jenner I would take. But for Stamkos, not so much.
Now, for full spectrum, and you guys may or may not know who this is, but some of the listeners might if they do dabble in Dynasty. The prospect with Jenner is Colby Barlow. So he was drafted 18th overall in 2023 by the Jets. I don't know a lot about him. I know he's coming off being super sick, apparently. He seems to be somebody that's decently on the spectrum of mid to high quality prospect. I don't really know. I don't really care about prospects and draft picks. You guys know this.
I'm going to go the opposite route, actually. And I think Montour is... had a couple puck bounces gone the other way, people would have been calling this guy the best defenseman in the league with the Panthers if they won the Stanley Cup last season, right? Like, this is a top defensive guy. I'm arguing Deadpool's advocate to what Alan mentioned, obviously, with Matty K being hurt. The inverse of Matty K being hurt is all those minutes still have to get vacuumed up one way or another. And if you look at tonight... Montour used to average 23 minutes, and tonight, I think with the injury, now he's at 28 minutes. I think he took up all the other offensive minutes, all the power play minutes, all those other things, and that's not what I want to give up. If you were giving that up, I can see the angle where you're saying, okay, Stamkos is older, sure, but I mean, at the other end, like that's the sort of offensive output and talent that I think is like should be considered going the other way. Boone Jenner, he's...
Don't you do it. Don't you
talk. He's not going anywhere. The Jackets have already said he's not getting traded.
Don't you talk smack about Papa Boone, Okay. Don't you
like,
do it.
The big one with Boone Jenner is look at his health history, right? Like, so the last time he's played, okay, maybe last season he was only two games shy. He was two games shy of the 70-game mark. But if we're going to treat 70 games, right, as that sort of cutoff, like you missed over 10% of the season, but whatever, you're close enough, 70 games. The last time he's hit that is 2019-2020. So in terms of injury history for a 30-year-old in which he's on the worst side of the decades, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I would say you're trading for a guy with optimal health. And then the other guy is obviously an older fella, too. And then Montour, like, the guy who could feasibly be the power play quarterback for at least the next 2-3 years on a top Eastern Conference team.
Yes, but here's the other thing that neither of you brought up. Does my depth at the defensive position with the likes of Bouchard and Letang give me some fluidity to consider adding, you know, given Jay, your point on Jenner's injury history is valid. So that's something I thought about too, but he is a very strong, you know, big, beautiful winger, even though he's a center in terms of how we categorize him here at the taxi squad, in terms of when he is healthy, his category coverage makes up for, you know, his maybe lesser point ceiling. I would like to think, as, you know, hopefully the Jackets can have a team that's fully healthy at some point in the next couple of years, and then maybe you'll see a legitimate output from Jenner. Those are just things I'm thinking about, and you guys have given me some good perspective, but I want to get into the schedule for the listeners. So, you know, guys out there in listener land, you've heard my consideration for my trade in my dynasty league, or one of my dynasty leagues. You know, reach out to me on Discord or on Twitter/X. I'm interested to hear your perspective out there for those that are dialed in with the taxi squad and in the dynasty formats. Alan, why don't you take the lead in the van cab? I'm going to go stretch my legs out in the back seat. Why don't you take the people through some of week 20's schedule and the taxi squad's top streaming options for week 20?
Yeah, so the best schedules next week are Edmonton and Washington. They both have 4 games of 3 off nights. Arizona, LA, and Ottawa have 4 games of 2 off nights. And then Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and Winnipeg have 4 games with 1 off night. And then worst schedules, Calgary and Chicago both have 2 games. And then kind of honorable mention-ish, New York Rangers have 2 games with 1 off night. Streamers, well, one of these guys got freaking hurt tonight and could be out for a while, but I was going to say TJ Oshie, 16% right wing, and then also, but also Dylan Strome, center at 26%. They're both line one, power play one. Strome has 6 in his last 5. Oshie, 5 in his last 5. Since Oshie's out, you could grab the guys like Connor McMichael, center. I think he's got 5 games in his last, or 5 goals in his last 4. Is Pacioretty still under 50% owned? I'm sure he's still out there. Yeah. But then Shane Pinto, man, I was looking around at lineups. He's only 16% owned, but not only does he have 7 points in his last 7, he's line one, power play one right now.
He scored tonight again on the power play, too. And Norris had 2 goals tonight, too.
Yes, because I got notified of that. But goalies, Charlie Lindgren is out there, 31% owned. Anton Forsberg in Ottawa, 5%. Ottawa's schedule next week is 2 back-to-backs, so he's guaranteed 2 starts, pretty much.
They won 4-1 with him in net tonight, too.
Yeah. It seems like over the season, when Forsberg's been healthy, he's been the better goalie. Yeah. But Korpisalo, I think, was like almost 60% owned. And then Sharks goalies, if you really want to take a chance on the Sharks, they're both 5% or less owned. But they actually, in volume leagues, they're really not that bad because they will face a ton of rubber. It's just if you want wins, you go somewhere else. But big boy bangers, couple guys on Arizona. Matt Dumba, 7% owned, steady kind of 2 to 5 hits his last several games. And rumors are he's on the move. He is, I think, on a 1-year deal. So he's a big trade target. And then Lawson Krause, kind of all round go check territory, left wing, right wing, 41%. Hits and shoots at a pretty good clip, like 2 to 3 a game. And then on Minnesota, Brandon Duhaime, left wing, right wing, 1% owned. Last few games, he's looking at like 4, 6, 8 hits. If you want to win hits, he'll definitely help you get there. And then I will turn it over to Jay.
In this week 20 strategy, the first thing you're going to check is, do we have any teams to target hold from the week 19 Sunday into the week 20 Monday? Nope, not a single team. Teams to target drop, as Alan mentioned, there's Calgary, Chicago, the Rangers, and Calgary. Some guys just to consider, they're both hanging around 40% ownership. Andre Kuzmenko, Jonathan Huberto. It's not that those guys couldn't turn around. It's more that in this specific week 19, with them having no off nights and then also just two games on heavy nights, both of those guys would be heavy considerations for potential drops. Consider Sharon Govich and Backlund as well on Calgary. Chicago's also got two games. Everyone not named Connor Bedard or Seth Jones should be dropped. Peter Mrazek, maybe if you're in a volume points league. You can consider keeping, but aside from that, like, yes, that's even stretching it, right? But no Connor Bedard drops, no Seth Jones drops, and then everyone else, bye-bye. The Rangers have an interesting cast because, first, you have to remember to drop Jonathan Quick. He's probably not going to play this week.
He hates Dylan Strome and Gabe Vilardi, Alan, but Jay's love for Seth Jones boggles my mind. They just,
it's power play one quarterback
on the worst team in hockey,
right? And they've proven they will move him off for that one dude, that one
Kerwinski, John Krasinski's
what is his name?
Little brother,
Korchinski.
Yes.
Yeah. Anywho, on the Rangers, you have to first remember, move off Jonathan Quick, right? He's probably not gonna start either of the games. So you're going to drop him.
And Shesty's on fire.
Who knew that feeling of, oh man, first ever shutout. It's against me. Oh, it was brutal. Okay. Two guys, they're really hot right now. And I think it might be risky to drop them, but it's more dropping for the schedule. If it turns out they're really, really coming back with a vengeance, don't come at me. Their schedule was terrible. But Condre Miller, he's been filling up the peripheral stat sheets, and I think he also gets power play two times, so that's definitely a guy to continue watching out for. And the other guy is Alexis Lafreniere, who's in the same setup, right? Line two, power play two. But the thing with Lafreniere and Condre Miller is they've both been pretty damn good lately. I'm just gonna pull up their stats just to compare over here.
I think Laf scored tonight.
Lafreniere scored tonight.
He scored twice tonight, actually, I think, from what I saw.
Right, he scored twice tonight. He got 18 minutes of ice time. He had two assists two nights back. And generally speaking, it's that sort of setup where it feels bad. Because truthfully, I don't know if we're going to get the game where like he gets 15 minutes or 14 minutes of ice time. He doesn't shoot the puck. Feels like he's there on a semi-free skate, you know? And I don't know. If you drop him and then he pulls in two goals and it feels terrible, but according to the schedule,
I have a public service announcement for our listeners on week 20 streaming already. Unfortunately, TJ Oshie got hurt tonight and he's now day to day with a lower body injury. So that this might put a complete halt to TJ Oshie's hot streak.
That's what I said.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All right.
So I was like, who else on that team is okay?
All right. Well, Connor McMichael.
Five goals in his last four games. Completely sustainable.
Or Pacioretty. Like, I think everyone's forgotten about him. And yeah, Craig's right about his bionic feet. But yeah, like, maybe? Who knows?
Dude, Patches hasn't gotten over 14 minutes in a game in seven games.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh,
his bionic feet might not be ready for real hockey yet.
No, not quite there yet. The Rangers, right? So you basically have those three guys, Lafreniere, Condre Miller, Jonathan Quick. You should, if you're holding one of those guys, consider possibly moving off of them just at least for the upcoming week 20, because truthfully, again, when we described poison pills a couple weeks back, when you're dropping some of these guys, if anything, you're hoping that the team, you know, that you're facing picks up one of these guys, because truthfully, again, with the parity in the league, you'd rather four games versus two games. And if they're willing to pick up a player on a two game week, heck yeah, I want to play against all those managers that are only, you know, at using their precious ads per week on two game a week players. So these are a couple guys you can consider dropping. And then who you're going to take up with those freed up roster spots. Head to any team that is going to win your week early, right? So let's look at some teams that have Monday, Tuesday back-to-backs. Dallas, the LA Kings, Ottawa, Washington, right? So the first one with Dallas is that Dallas has a lot of owned up guys. So the only guy that is under 50% ownership and is worthwhile in your roster is probably Wyatt Johnston. He's 39% owned, center right wing, so he's dual eligible. He's line one, power play two. Pretty good, decent deployment. Pretty easily or reasonably addable if he's available in your league at 39%. Okay, so with LA, I know you must have seen this on Reddit recently, but Quentin Byfield, my goodness, 47% ownership, center left wing eligible, line three, power play one. He scored an absolute banger of a goal against the Columbus Blue Jackets a couple nights ago. If you have not seen that goal, go look it up. It was wild to see. He is an immensely talented and skilled player. It looks like he's going to get that run, right? Especially on the power play one. Some other guys that are more peripherally based as opposed to anything else. There's Philip Deneau, 20% owned center, line two, power play two. And then, obviously, he used to be line one, power play one on previous teams. He has that talent in him. It's not really shown on LA this season, but Pierre-Luc Dubois, right? PLD, he's still 43% owned, center left wing eligible. He gets power play two time, although he's on the third line. It's tough to stream guys on LA too, and a lot of them are owned up, but these couple skaters would give you some options. There's going to be value in net, so I'm going to caveat this by saying that Cam Talbot's won two straight, but they went straight back to Riddick for the start tonight. I haven't seen how that game's going right now.
Oh, Nashville just scored on him, so 1-0.
Oh.
Huzzah. Okay, huzzah. So, goalies. So, goalies.
Yeah, we'll see how it is. Like, the tough part I agree with Craig is that Talbot is just so immensely valuable, especially as a streamer this season, or I guess early season streamer and then long-term hold. But it seems like LA has checked and determined that they can't just ride and grind Talbot into the ground. Like, they at least need to give him some sort of run, at least in the rest of the regular season. So I think even with Talbot getting his last two wins, they're still rolling back to Riddick, and Riddick was getting a couple of starts here and there too. I think it's going to be a 1A, 1B situation at least for the remainder of the season, unless there's going to be a trade in the next 2 weeks. Ottawa's here as well with that Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, and you have two guys that you have to monitor immensely, right? So there's Josh Norris and there's Shane Pinto. They're both centers, and they're both getting, I think, power play one time, and they're both pretty lowly owned. I think Shane Pinto was only, Al mentioned, he's 16% owned. Josh Norris is also, 21% owned? I think people are forgetting about Ottawa, and honestly, that includes me. I don't think I checked until I looked at the schedules. Vladimir Tarasenko is also dropping in ownership rate. He's only at 48%, but he's, left right wing eligible?
It's because he sucks. That's why. He sucks. He sucked for 3 years. Like, he sucks.
Yeah, it's for the schedule. It's for the schedule, Craig. Not defending.
This is not Ryan McLeod streaming material, Jay. Don't you try to put Tarasenko in that same basket, okay?
Now, I'm going to put this out here too. I don't really know what's happening in net in Ottawa, because there's Jonas Korpisalo, who's at 53% ownership, and then Anton Forsberg at 5%. But it looks right now as if they've split the last few wins. Not necessarily the starts, but the wins have definitely been far more split between the two. I think Forsberg's actually with tonight won his last three starts. So I don't know if that means anything in terms of changing the, I guess, overall net share.
Over the last six games, they've split it 50-50. Forsberg's won three, like you said. Korpisalo's won none. He's lost all three starts in that 50-50 split in the last six games.
Yeah, so if that continues, I'm going to go out on a limb and say maybe the coach is going to look and say, hey, maybe we're going to give Forsberg a second start and see what he does with it.
Before those six games, Korpisalo won three straight. Before Forsberg came back and started against Columbus on February 13th. So Korpisalo seems to be 50-50 on his own, whether he's going to be good or not. So
yeah, it's tough also, right, to suggest the value with Korpisalo at 53% ownership, right? Like, more of the league already has him. But Anton Forsberg at 5%? Yes, definitely.
As much as you're holding your breath on any goalie start at this point in the season, you know, minus Demko and maybe Shesterkin, who's coming out of the flames that he was in, you know, a month ago, and a couple others that off the top of my head, I don't know. But teams like Ottawa, teams like Buffalo, even though UPL's been playing well, teams like New Jersey, you're putting those boys in and you're holding your goddamn breath regardless of of who's playing well or not, because the team defensively in front of them is not good. So at any point, the good play could turn into, you know, what do the boys call it on the from the OG TJ, Zach, and Raj? A roast beef sandwich could just be like, is literally just inches away from any of those goalies at any given time. And I agree, you got to go with the schedule when you're streaming 0G. But let's be real, Forsberg is playing well right now, but at any given time, with the way Ottawa has played this year, that roast beef sandwich is just going to get like kicked directly down Forsberg's throat, and he's going to give up like five goals and lose, you know, 5-1 or 5-2 or something on any given night.
And important to note too, actually realizing this further, since it's a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, every single one of those goalie tandems that we mentioned, you're probably going to be able to see both of them on full display. You'll see both of those goalies and any lower ownership one 100%. If you're streaming a, you know, going a 0G strategy, stream one of them, see how they do, and hopefully they're, you know, fresh enough. I don't know if they'll be fresh because they played the night before, but they'll be fresh enough to hopefully to pull out a win for you.
My question would be, boys, and maybe we don't know this off the top of the head, but I'll give it to the listeners. If you're going to stream Washington, that Jay's going to get into, Ottawa, their goalies next week, who's got the weaker opponents and who's got the home games? That's where I'm going to stream these guys, because stay away from Washington and Ottawa when they're not at home, because they have been awful. Other than Washington beating Tampa tonight, Alan, just, you know, thought I'd mention that too.
Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, man.
Wait, is that the Leafs motto here? What's going on? Huh? Okay.
The Leafs just put a 4 spot on Vegas, dude, in the first period and chased Hill.
And thankfully, none of it was Auston Matthews.
Yikes. Yikes.
I mean, let's be real here, Craig.
Hill has not looked good in his last 3 starts in Vegas. It's not good for me in many, many spots. Yikes.
Yeah, I'm speaking as the hurt Leafs fan, bringing the Leafs into this schedule, and I'm so sorry, listeners here, but I have no doubt that the Leafs can do miraculous and wondrous things in any regular season game. The problem is not the regular season. We will always.
I'm not even excited. I'm not even excited about
when them things don't matter.
Putting up 4 against Vegas tonight in the first. I'm more hurt that Aiden Hill can't remove his head from his ace and reclaim the goal in Vegas that was his before he got hurt, because Thompson's really not playing that well. But now Hill's taking, you know,
that's true,
the Swiss cheese backseat to Thompson, and it's hurting.
Got Swiss cheese on that roast beef.
Yeah, he's getting some. that's like a double decker roast beef sandwich when you give up 4 in the first period. Like, that is just dripping with Swiss cheese, and it's just covered in his eyes and shit. He doesn't even know where his mouth is at this point. He can't see because the roast beef is all over him.
Yeah, I don't know. Washington. We're just going to segue back. Washington.
When Max Domi scores against you in the first period, like, you deserve to be pulled, okay? You deserve to get benched, okay? Carry on, Jay. Back to Washington in week 20. Go for it.
One quick thing. Is Riley back from suspension?
Yeah, tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Tonight.
Okay, Riley is back.
I guess we should have mentioned that. Yeah. Morgan Riley is back from suspension on the Toronto Maple Leafs. But let's get back to strategy for week 20.
Okay, so Washington's the last Monday, Tuesday back-to-back start. There's two guys here to look for. Tom Wilson, 42% ownership, line 2 power play 1. He averages over 3 hits a game, so that's definitely, he should be already rostered in all bangers leagues, but definitely in week 20. And the other one is Dylan Strome. He's at, I think, what, 21% ownership, and he's, you know, he's 21 goals. Still the top leading goal scorer, which is kind of wild with Obi still there. And this is with Obi with a 6-game goal streak.
8 games. Obi has 8 goals in 8 games. Because he scored twice in their last game. Not tonight. The previous game.
Gotcha. The great 8 indeed, but he couldn't keep it going tonight. And they still have a battle in net, Charlie Lindgren and Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper is 55% owned. Lindgren is 32% owned, but they are splitting starts. So I would say the value lies with Charlie Lindgren. But honestly, Kemper might be owned up in some leagues too. It remains to be seen. Lindgren is the, contractual backup, but has been playing better, which is why it's been upped to a timeshare. And Kemper holds the contract, but, you know, he's not exactly played like his contract value. So just monitor and note who is playing. But more importantly, it's going to be a back-to-back. So you'll be able to see both goalies on display. Take whomever is available and start it. You also have a couple of guys with your Monday, Wednesday off nights in week 20. So there's only one team with that Monday, Wednesday off night. There's Matthias Ekholm and there's Warren Fogle. Matthias Ekholm has, he also gets power play 2 times, as does Warren Fogle, but
McLovin.
Yeah. Am I missing out something?
Yeah, Fogle. That's McLovin.
Oh.
Yeah, because that was the character, that was the kid's real name, right?
You better keep this in, because that went right over the youngsters.
Fuck, it's been like 15 years or something.
It's one of the greatest comedy scenes in movie history, okay? His name, it's the three kids from Superbad.
Right.
And they send, I don't want to say what they call him, because it's not appropriate for the world.
Oh, dear. Jeez. Okay.
But he gets a fake ID, and on his fake ID, his name is McLovin, and his last name is Fogle. So everybody calls Warren Fogle Fogle, but in his fake ID, it's only the name McLovin. I forget the actor's name, but the guy who's the best friend of, not Seth Rogen, what's the kid's name?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of the name either.
The two main characters, the one guy says, "What are you, an R&B? Why are you an Irish R&B singer?" And then the other guy's like, "What the fuck kind of name is McLovin? Who has one fucking name?"
Prince.
Who are you? And he's like, "Who are you, Seal?"
Prince.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my goodness.
So you got to look that shit up. I'm gonna send you guys that scene just as a refresher, because it's fucking gold. Like, it's just pure and utter gold.
Oh, man. Okay. From Ekholm and Fogle, indeed, to McLovin. Taxi squad, guys. Taxi squad. Okay, so Ekholm is there with 44%. And he's probably either owned up, but truthfully, you just kind of need some access to the Oilers. And then Fogle at 5%, he's honestly been scoring.
You know what? I'm taking McLovin, just because you guys don't know who it is, as one of my streamers of the week. Because TJ Oshie has hurt my soul. McLovin all the way.
And that's a great strategy for the early part of week 20, because they're the only team that has Monday, Wednesday on the off nights. You can also, in the early part of the week, get the only team that has a Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back. There's St. Louis. So they have 3 guys that were suggested here. That's Colton Parayko, 38%, D1, no power play time. But recently he was on power play 1 for a stretch of time. Jake Neighbors is also getting power play 1 time. He's only at 18%, and he's dual eligible on the second line. And there's Torrey Krug, who was bounced off power play 1 onto power play 2 while Parayko took power play 1. But it seems like Krug's been bounced back up to power play 1. So he's at 28% owned. He's on the second pairing. And once you've, I guess, streamed all these other guys, that's the wrap for the early week 20 strategy. And I will throw back to Craig.
That brings us into wrapping the show. We'll give you our preferred streamers of the week and the guys that we are going to target for week 20. Why don't we start with Alan, why don't you take us through your top streamers for week 20 and who you'll be targeting on your fantasy hockey teams for next week?
Drinking my own Kool-Aid here. I'm going with Dylan Strome, who I think I know I've picked before.
I think you've picked him like five times this season. But I didn't expect anything else, and I'm glad everybody left him alone for us. So
right, yeah. So Dylan Strome and Shane Pinto, man. If that deployment sticks for him, he was already pretty good without it. Be awesome to see what he does with it.
All right, and I will do mine and Matty K's, because Matty K is not with us. So I'll start with Matty K. He's going to do Pierre-Luc Dubois from the LA Kings. Good luck with that. And his other guy is Gabe Vilardi from the Winnipeg Jets. So PLD is 43% rostered, and Gabe Vilardi is 36% rostered. And I am going to do Josh Norris from the Ottawa Senators, who is 21% rostered. And I will be a man of my word, even though it's probably a terrible choice. I will take McLovin all day long from the Edmonton Oilers. Warren Fogle at only 5% rostered. So I'm going deep this week, just like I did last week with Nick Foligno. And that takes us to Jay's streamers of the week for week 20. And Jay went with the guy that I was considering, but I want to be a man of my word and take McLovin. So Jay, hit the people with your streamers of the week.
Yeah, just pick two guys that were on the back-to-back Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back. There's Wyatt Johnston and Quentin Byfield. You know, hopefully they do something for you.
All right, so there you have it. Your streamers of the week for week 20 from the Taxi Squad boys. Hopefully you have taken something from this convoluted, ridiculous episode, because we were kind of all over the place tonight, but it was sure as shit fun. Hope you got some laughs, and hopefully we have set you up down a pathway for success and to grab some early points and some set you up for your week 20 wins. Thank you, as always, for listening. We always enjoy having you along for the ride in the van cab with the three of us. We will be back very soon with our second rendition of our starts and sits live stream on Saturday morning at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Maybe a little. Sorry. Yeah. Did I say 11 p.m.? Yeah. I meant 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All the games will be over by then, Craig.
We can't answer your start sit questions at 11 p.m., but that is this Saturday on February 24th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to answer all your sit and start questions for your Saturday slate. So, Jay, why don't you turn off those fares? Let's park this van cab and let's get the hell out of here. Good night, everybody. It's all love. What kind of fucking name is McLovin?
No one cares about your home point streak, McKinnon.
We'll pick you up later.